working under the foundation.
Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
We're in another meeting on the FNA meeting that should be ending shortly.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I just came in here so that everybody could get in. It went over like way longer than we anticipated due to the budget process, so makes sense.
Thank you, Andrea.
So are we still waiting, Andrea?
There we go.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Carmina. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Nice to see
you. Can you guys hear me?
Not really. Try it again.
Can you hear me?
Not really. Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
The only LOI we have received so far, which we are going to be having a conference with, is with Cal State University San Bernardino. They are asking for some funding to for summer interns to do summer clinicals with the vaccinations, $78,346 for the nursing students. And to give you, so we're going to have a conference with them next week. And then just give you a quick update on the Transgender Health and Wellness Center. We are waiting for some information that they're going to provide from an agency assessment that had been conducted by Center for Nonprofit Advancement. So we've gotten a list of the things that the consultant had worked with them on, and we wanted just to make sure that they were financially in place, secure, that their board is in agreement on everything that they're working on. And the city of Coachella with the pool, Alejandro and I had a really good site visit with them yesterday, and they are going to be working on an application, revising their application, rather than just doing a straight pool rehabilitation. We were working with them, and they're going to be working on how to bring their pool up for ADA compliant. For a vulnerable population of those people that are developmentally, mentally disabled, need wheelchairs, walkers. They do have a portable lift. It's in storage. They don't know how old it is. So they're going to be working on that our funds would be specifically to help them with their ADA compliance to bring this vulnerable population to be able to enjoy the pool like every other Coachella Valley resident. So it'll be interesting to see what we get from that. And we're also going to, they're also going to incorporate some particular programming, adaptive swimming exercises for either children, adults, seniors, anybody that would need to be lifted into the pool and can do, learn how to swim or do some exercises that will help improve their strength. So stay tuned. I think it's gonna be a nice request. And that's really about it. We do have one, which you'll see, we do have one grant before you today with Desert AIDS Project. I'm sorry, DAP Health, their new name, right?
Before we move on, I'm gonna ask if there's any questions for Donna regarding her update on funding request. Okay, I will say the adaptive pool is very exciting. DRD, the Desert Recreation District, sends out their like magazine to households. So we just got ours and they have like adaptive everything, but I didn't see anything for swimming. They might, I just happened, probably did not see it. So
they have one at the Poly Pool, that's it. So they don't do any adaptive swimming for the Coachella, City of Coachella's pool.
That's very cool. Glad that's kind of where the project is moving. It's exciting. Yeah. I'm going to move us along to the grant payment schedule if no one has questions.
Chris is on the phone, on the call, if you do have any questions about the grant payment schedule.
Are there any items of note, Chris?
His name is Chiss. Spelled his own name wrong.
I'm assuming there is not. Any questions or comments regarding the payment schedule? All right, I'm gonna move us on to grant funding requests. No, sorry. Program updates, the community health needs assessment and health improvement plan.
I don't know if Conrado, were you going to take the lead on this or do you want Megan to?
Hi. Thank you. Megan, would you please share some brief update?
Yes, it's just very brief. I have an echo, I hope that's not for everyone. We just continue to look at the needs assessment and the CHIP, trying to do those final touches and make sure we're incorporating everything we can. We are taking a little bit longer to do this as the strategic planning did not happen in the beginning of May. We kind of want to align these as opposed to a community needs assessment coming out and then no plan after it. So we're trying to figure out the best way to align those timelines so it kind of flows together and gets, you know, we can share it with our community, what we're doing and what we came out of this, as opposed to here's this giant report and we can't really tell you yet what we're gonna do with it. So we're just trying to really focus on what that timeline looks like this summer and how we can incorporate a community engagement plan for the summer and disseminating this appropriately.
And I'm assuming that would be like in English and Spanish.
The communications plan or the needs assessment itself?
Anything that we are trying to relay back to the community regarding our research.
Right. In terms of the communications plan, yes. We'll explore how we can translate the document itself, but the presentation with data from the needs assessment will be presented both in English and Spanish.
Thank you. It's more of the presentation. Let me take a quick pause here and see if we have Director Perez Gill back with us.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you. Do you want to take over?
However you like. If you want to continue, that's fine.
I'll pass it over to you. I have like my screens already set up the way I normally run the meetings when I'm not leading. Would you mind, we are on item 7, the grant funding request.
Okay, so number one is consideration to forward to the board for approval. Grant number 1280, DAP Health. DAP Health expands access to healthcare 100,000. Who will be giving information on this item?
I can do that. This is a $100,000 request to support the startup of their behavioral health. Sorry, my screen just went funny. Their behavioral health expansion. And it is actually two components that they are going to be expanding on the behavioral health services, which is the psychotherapy, which utilizes this therapist and doing it's self-referral and screenings. And then the other component is advancing and expanding the psychiatric component. They, at one time, DAP Health had a psychiatrist on staff, and they lost that coverage and had contracted off campus with Inland Psychiatric Center to fulfill that need. So then starting in July of this year, DAP, they are collaborating with University of California, Riverside, bringing in their psychiatrist, Dr. Woods, who's also going to be bringing in three residents. So you've got the behavioral health side, the self-referral, and then you've got the medication management side on the up with the psychiatric piece. So you've got everybody covered. The doctors, medical doctors would be referring to the psychiatrist for if needed. And then I spotlighted your video for everyone. Ooh. And then continuing with their very strong psychotherapy component. Dr. Gover, who is the behavioral health manager, is on the Zoom meeting. If you have anything, if she has anything to add or you have questions for her.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
Why am I highlighted?
I'm definitely curious to hear from Dr. Gold. Their sort of goals, priorities for this project. I'm definitely excited that they included us. I will say that.
Dr. Gold, there you are.
Gover.
Gover, thank you.
Do you have any specific questions for me regarding this grant proposal?
I have a few. This is Director Preskill. Under your proposal, let's say this is going to take 1 to 3 months before the clinician sees a patient. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, it takes several months to go through the credentialing process and our onboarding, which requires approval for several different insurance panels. So it's generally, it can take anywhere between 3 to 6 months before we're able to bill.
Okay, and in the meantime, where are the patients gonna go?
We'll continue to see patients with our current staffing.
Okay, and then there's only gonna be 3 residents, right?
There will be, we're starting off the psychiatry component with one psychiatrist, as Donna said, who will be supervising the 3 residents. So we're gonna start the program off small and then we hope to expand it over time.
Okay, and then it said that we're gonna be working 4 hours per week. Is that per person in total?
No, that's the per person.
Okay, so how many patients do you anticipate they'll see in those 12 hours?
I had that number in front of me and I don't have it here, but.
Are there sessions, sorry.
Yeah, they typically have 2 to 3 patients that they might see per hour.
Oh, okay. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions for her? Karen or Carmina, do you have any questions?
I don't at this time. I like the idea that we'll that they have the two components, the behavioral health psychotherapy piece and the advancing psychiatry component. I think it's wonderful that DAP will have a psychiatrist soon on staff. So I'm excited about that.
I don't have any questions.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve?
I, Carmina, approve. Pass.
I second Carmina's motion.
Okay, so the grant has been approved and is being considered to move forward to the board for approval at the next board meeting. Moving on to old business, AB 2019 Healthcare District's fact sheet for information. Does anyone have any updates or any questions regarding this information?
I would like to see this, how it pertains to the district. It was like, I get it, like copy and paste from the actual law, but like, what does this mean to our policies, bylaws that we currently have? If that's like needed.
We've actually added it to our grant policy on the website, Karen. I mean, I'm sorry, Director Borja. And this bill, which became law on January 1st of 2019, was actually specific to healthcare districts. So, but we do have it on our website under our grant policy, meaning that we want to always remind grantees that they just can't call us up and say, "Well, I've got five ideas. I'd like to pass by you. You tell me which one that you think you would fund." We can't do that anymore. I can't solicit, can't endorse until they actually start the LOI process. And then we can start talking to them. Like prime example would be the Coachella pool in Coachella. They submitted the LOI. Once that process began, then we can start talking to them about other alternatives and what might be a best fit for both district and the grantee.
So I believe that the reason why this was included in the board packet is because at the last board meeting, one of our directors, Director Rogers, brought to our attention AB 2019 and how, in her views, it prevents the district from effectively granting out monies. And what we want with this is to remind the letter of the law. The letter of the law really doesn't prevent us from doing our work. And I think we are doing everything we can to be in compliance with this law, which ensures transparency and fairness. And it is what we are doing. And there is a process that is established through this law to grant our dollars based on that transparency. And that is, grantees or potential grantees submit a letter of intent. We have a process that follows, and we engage with those that submit a letter of intent with providing technical assistance, with explaining how better to fit the proposed project into the strategic goals and priorities of the district. It doesn't prevent us from granting our dollars. What it does is prevent us from doing favors to organizations that we might prefer. And in that case would create, which is something that happened in the past, especially in many healthcare districts across the state of California, calling somebody and saying, "Why don't you apply for X and X dollars and we will fund your project." And this way the process is transparent and it's fair. And I think that was the reason why we included a copy of the letter of the law. That's all, Director Borja. Did I explain it well, Donna?
You did. Absolutely. Thank you.
So after reading this, not a lawyer, I'm not a policy elected official who sits there and creates laws of the sort. I am still curious and still left with like the not so clear understanding, right? Like, for example, here in the city of Indio, Cal State San Bernardino has a reentry initiative. I would like them to figure out a way to talk to us about potentially funding, supporting, encouraging their program.
So this law prevents you from doing that. Bill- you should not do that. That's what the law says. We should not engage with potential applicants and direct them to apply for funding at the district. It has to be something that they decide, that the strategic plan, the strategic goals, the strategic direction of the healthcare district fits within the strategic objectives of their programs. And then they can apply and we can then provide technical assistance. That's the process. And the law was designed effectively to prevent board members from engaging with the public in directing funding.
So they never hear about us, they never know that we exist, but we have this like $1 million set aside for behavioral health. It just is what it is. Like I find this really difficult because we have a lot of like small nonprofits that do really great work. And like, honestly, our footprint in the East Valley is so, so new that maybe we're not known. Maybe people don't understand, right? So this one in particular is just this question about this particular organization is curious because I saw them just driving around picking up lunch one day. And I was like, oh shit, let me look into them. They're awesome.
Yeah. Well, Cal State San Bernardino has a very well-staffed development department and they know about us because they have approached us so many times. We have funded them before. It's not that Cal State San Bernardino is new to the district. We have funded significantly Cal State San Bernardino. And in fact, today I received an invitation from Cal State San Bernardino because they will be launching a new program that it's going to be training for physician assistants. So they know of the district.
Example, but what about others like the Latino Commission, right?
So, like, yes.
Small folks, like we are just not allowed to tell them the district provides funds, like so that's really what can happen, what cannot happen as a board.
So what happens in that case, and the Latino Commission is another example. Yes, they do know about us because I have met with them, and those meetings occur in the context of they invite the CEO to showcase the programs that they have, the services that they provide, and I met with the Latino Commission before COVID. So it's been a long time since I met with them. The way that the organizations and the community know about the district is through our engagement with the community. And when we launched our funding priorities last year, we had a couple of sessions and we sent out blast emails to every nonprofit organization there is in the Valley. We have actually presented to these organizations about our funding priorities, who we are, what we do, how we fund, the process, all the grant process that needs to be followed. And that is what this law prescribes. And that's how we do it. And I believe that, yes, there is always room for improvement, but we have effectively granted over $3 million from the foundation side and on the district side, over $2 million in just this fiscal year.
Okay. Just curious how the mechanics of this work. I'm also very curious to see what Carol's questions might be.
Well, I think that one of the concerns that we have with Carol's questions was that she on her own sent a letter to one of our assembly members to protest against AB 2019. And AB 2019 has a long and complex history of why it happened. And it was clearly what I explained before. It was board members in healthcare district calling on somebody that they liked and saying, apply for this and we will give you the money. And that's how the money was directed rather than through a transparent process in which organizations would seek funding from healthcare districts. It was the other way around. And that created many concerns on the legislative, from a legislative perspective. And there were actually efforts to eliminate the existence of healthcare district precisely for that practice of board members calling on organizations and just offering money. We have come a long way. ACHD has come a long way in building bridges with the author of AB 2019 to the point that that person is now one of the advocates for healthcare districts. When at the beginning of that process, that person was against having healthcare district. And you may recall there was a Little Hoover Commission report on healthcare district, and it was very damaging, the information that was shared. And that's what triggered AB 2019. And AB 2019 pretty much was a compromise between let's eliminate all healthcare districts and ensure the survival of healthcare district by including a new law that guarantees transparency and fairness.
My last question would be if there are any amendments that staff see might be, any amendments to this law that staff see or feel or think might be needed, beneficial for our particular district?
I personally do not see any. And ACHD actually advocates not to include any amendments to this law. I think what we need to be is more proactive in engaging with the community, allowing the community to know more about the healthcare district. I think the COVID-19 pandemic has prevented us from doing more of the community engagement in that sense. But what we see is more community engagement that has resulted from COVID-19 in a different light. Now, once we have a strategic plan, the community health needs assessment, the health improvement plan, those are all significant pieces of information that the community needs to know. And that once we have that engagement plan, we will have much more visibility in terms of our role as a funder.
And I make these questions and probe just because this is our second to the last meeting of this fiscal year, and there's still $730,000 here, right? And at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a survey done of nonprofits and everybody seemed to be suffering, yet we still have like over $500,000 unspent in this fiscal year for the district side. So really that's the only reason why I probe and ask these particular questions, just to see, yeah, is there something different that can be brought about this law? Are we okay with it the way it is? Is it working for us? Is it not working for us? And by us, obviously, like the larger Coachella Valley community, not just the district. That's it. Those are all my questions, thoughts, comments on this.
Understood.
Does anyone else have any questions regarding this, the AB 2019? Hearing none, we'll move on to committee member comments. Are there any committee member comments at this time?
I don't
hear. No? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to adjourn the meeting at 5:40 p.m. And our next scheduled meeting is June 8th, 2021. And we'll move directly into the Foundation Program Committee.
Sorry, I guess I did have one comment now that you bring up the date. Are we moving these meetings to 5 p.m.? Or was that just for today? It's just for today, right?
I think it was just for today, right? Or what?
Yeah.
Should we special meeting moving these meetings to 5 p.m.?
It was for today. I don't know if there is a continuing need for that, and I will ask Director Zavala if she has something to say in that regard. We typically have these meetings earlier in the day, and today we're having it at 5. So I don't know if moving forward we have the need to have these meetings at 5, and if you like the meetings at 5 instead of at 12:30, 1, I can't recall the time.
Oh, I think it was 12 and 12:30.
Okay. Yes.
Right.
This is Carmina. I think it would be helpful if we can move them to 5, just only because for work, my day work. So that would be helpful if we can. I don't know what.
I'm in the same boat. A later meeting. I have a standing second Tuesday of the month, 6:30 meeting. So even if it's not Tuesday, if there's another day that works best for us and staff, that would also be okay with me. But yeah. Not middle of the day for working people would be great.
I'm also open for another date too, but if possible, after 5 o'clock, that would be wonderful.
So Conrado, we can, if we're gonna do that for the next month, I suppose we should put that on the consent agenda for the May board meeting, and I'm referring to the bylaws. Yes. And changing, making the appropriate changes to the policy and the things that, you know, coincide with it.
Mm-hmm.
The time change.
Yes. Thank you. We'll work on it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll be moving on to the foundation meeting. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 5:43 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Carmina, second.
Okay. Moving on to meeting minutes from April 13, 2021 meeting. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes?
I motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Carmina, second.
Okay, moving on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Are there any public comments at this moment, Andrea?
There are no hands raised. No public comments.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to old business. Number one, progress and financial reports update. The information is in the packet on pages 6 to 9. Are there any questions regarding the information? And we'll move on to number two, grant payment schedules. The information is also on pages 10 to 11. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information?
Hearing none, we'll move on to number three, advancing the district's role in addressing the healthcare needs of Black communities in the Coachella Valley. The information's on page 12. A is community review and analysis access to healthcare strategies, $575,000, $400,000 from Desert Healthcare District, $100,000 from IEHP, and $75,000 from Lift to Rise. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information? No questions, no comments? Nothing. Okay, so we'll move on to new business. Number one, Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative, Part A, Public Institute.
Director Perez-Gil, I would like to say a few things about the previous item, which is the community advancing the district's role in addressing the healthcare needs of Black communities. We have had several meetings and we have a staff report that is written on page 12. And so that there is clarity, and I want to elevate the visibility of this item. This is an important component of our grant making this year. The district has been proactive in responding to the healthcare needs of Black communities in the Coachella Valley, and particularly of the Desert Highland Gateway. And for the first time, I think we gave a community the opportunity to choose who they wanted to work with. We had, in fact, released a request for proposal. We had two proposals. The community felt that those proposals were not responsive of the needs. We issued a new request for proposals. We had four proposals that came in that second round, and the community chose two as semi-finalists. And they wanted to interview those organizations that were submitting proposals. We had a lengthy process of interviewing those communities, doing site visits. And finally, the community has spoken. And at the last meeting we had, they chose Borrego Community Health Foundation to be that provider that will come to Desert Highland Gateway and establish an access point. So all that information that I am trying to summarize in just a few words is presented to you between the pages 12 and 30 or 25, including at the last meeting we had. There were some community members that asked the district to send an email and request additional information from Borrego as a condition to recommending them. So we submitted those questions, and you will find the answers on pages 23 and 24 that were submitted to us. So that has been the recommendation from our community members. And this is what we are presenting to you today. And this is something that we will advance to the board meeting. Anything else you want to add, Donna?
No, you summed it up very nicely. We did have, we did, the community members did have some questions of Borrego, which they answered and kind of broke it all out. But you can see in the email timeline and what they're expecting, how to begin and then ramp up.
Yeah.
I do have some questions just to make sure I understood what's coming. What is coming is a mobile unit in January 2022.
So what's coming is the provision of mobile services sooner than January 2022. What Borrego will be exploring is a permanent unit in Desert Highland Gateway, and that will require licensing and many other things. So it's going to be a lengthier process, more complex process to get something established long-term and affixed to the community.
Okay, but services will be rendered.
Yes, services will be rendered as soon as we start granting them the funds.
Perfect. Well, 30 days after we grant them is what they say.
Yes.
All right. Thank you all. Just had to make sure that I was couldn't figure out the timeline and then the questions that were sent about the brick and mortar building and like what was the actual commitment that would happen. I appreciate it. Thank you all so much. I know it's like not easy to go back and forth. But trust that it'll be definitely worth it, especially because it has community input, because people were given a choice and a voice and a vote. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to taking it to the rest of the board and just sharing the good news.
Thank you.
Thank you, Conrado. It was a nice experience with the community members and everybody around.
Yes, and just so you know, we have one community member, one of the community representatives is on the call. I think it's Dieter who is on the call.
Dieter, is there something you would like to say? Can you? Dieter, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I just want to say thank you guys for taking the time and consideration to look at the Desert Highland Gateway community and to create the health access point. And we all just feel blessed and look forward to working with you guys.
Thank you. Is there any more questions or comments regarding?
I have a question.
Okay.
I was wondering, is Borrego providing the mobile service, or I was a little confused. Is that something they already have?
Yes, they have the capacity. They are not currently providing those services, so they will come and start providing services.
Okay, thank you.
Now we'll move on to new business, the Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative, Public Health Institute, Together Toward Health, $225,000 grant award. We will be providing information on this item.
So just briefly, we received an additional $225,000 for the Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative. This is the ongoing work that we have to provide vaccination services to our residents. This started as a responsive grant to provide testing and education and outreach services. And now, as you know, it has morphed into supporting the vaccination efforts, and we receive an additional $225,000.
Anybody have any questions regarding this information provided? Hearing none, we'll move on to Behavioral Health Initiative, 2019 Mental and Behavioral Health Needs Assessment Recap and Highlights. Information is on pages 13 to 95. Does anyone have any question regarding this information?
We placed this in here as a segue and a reminder of that this needs assessment was done back in 2019 by EvalCorps, and with the hiring of Jana True as their new senior program officer, behavior health. And I'll let her speak. Give a quick brief update, but it's just more. This is going to be kind of like her blueprint, her boilerplate in developing a behavioral health improvement plan.
but we wanted to put this in there just as a reminder that this was done, and this was a true community involvement with many focus groups and surveys, and the community has spoken, and what they see is the need in mental health and behavioral health needs assessment, and that we, when this is completed, we will be going back to the community and say, you spoke, we listened, here's what's happening. And Jana, I don't know if you want to.
Sure, just thank you. The needs assessment that's part of your packet, it really illustrates what's possible when you collectively work together with our community members and the district to really advance what are the actual needs of our community and how we can improve the experiences that they have as members of our community. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to take all of this information now and kind of synthesize it so that we can put it into a structured kind of document that will allow us to move this forward using really the community members that participated and their involvement under a more of a collective impact model. It's really a great way to take several participants all with a common agenda and goal and continue to move a process forward in a very streamlined way so that, you know, we can make gains and get this absolutely into a format so it can become actionable. I'll be very excited about the opportunity to work closely with Alejandro as our Chief of Community Engagement to really have an interactive process. This is an important process, and I'm very excited to be able to participate in it as we advance it and move it forward.
Thank you, Jenna. I'm very excited that you're here. I'm excited to see what comes out of this assessment that was done. I could only imagine the need for it back then. Now with COVID, it's going to be extremely big. So I'm excited to see what comes out of all this. Thank you for your help. Does anybody else, does anybody have any questions for Jenna or for the staff?
Jenna's kind of hit the ground running. She's already got the website up and running with mental health awareness. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. She's got all kinds of links going on. She's got a whole timeline. So she's not letting any grass grow under her feet, so to speak.
I think just to speak to that, as you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. We have advanced a theme of recovery, replenishment, and resurgence. And so each week, as you visit our website, you'll see a different theme illustrated with links for our community members that they can go directly to a place where they can receive information about help being available. It is in both English and Spanish, so it's important for access purposes. And then each week, as I mentioned, there's a different theme. This week is National Prevention Week, so there's a lot of focus on links that help people if they're dealing with substance abuse or if they're dealing with trying to seek help for someone in a preventative fashion before that need escalates. Also, next week is going to be COVID-19 focus linkages and statements that help people that are, you know, really dealing with their mental health awareness needs in a time of COVID, which has really expanded the need greatly. And then our final week is going to be focused on resurgence and ways for people to not think about mental health awareness as something that occurs one month out of the year, but a way to really take advantage of whatever they learned and whatever needs they now feel ready to address. And we've provided them with a linkage to a really simple self-assessment that someone can do from Mental Health America that really is easy to use. And so it's not leaving people feeling like it was just 1 month out of the year and, you know, they'll just have to wait until next year. It's really a year long process.
Armina, do you want to ask anything, or Karen? Are you guys okay with the information provided?
No, I think I'm okay. Thank you, Jenna, for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all right too. Thank you. I just went on the website and I could see like the banners and the blog. So I appreciate that. Clicking through some of that right now.
So we'll move on to committee members.
Chair Perez-Fill, excuse me, we have a hand raised. Go ahead, Greg, from the public.
Yeah, I'm looking on the, I've got the website pulled up and I don't see where that's at. Let's see. The banner scrolls, or
there's a blog post if you scroll down under news, and then there's also a couple of banner scrolls. Where is it?
Yeah, I'm because all mine is just COVID stuff.
So we have the COVID page, and then are you guys? I believe we need to. You would have to go to the logo. Is that correct? Maybe you guys can help me out too, because I don't see it either. If you put in dhcd.org, that's our landing just, page for COVID.
Yeah, it just goes completely to COVID.
If you go to news on the little, like on the side.
Oh, on the menu. Go to the menu, Greg, to news. Oh. Here we go. Thank you.
And then I think there might be something.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, there it is. Yeah.
Thank you, Karen.
And we have, as staff, have discussed, you know, kind of revamping the landing page somewhat to make it more accessible for the grants, availability of grant information, and
yeah, and I just think if there was like even just a header that says Mental Health Awareness Month, click here.
Mm-hmm. So. Uh-huh.
All right, thanks, appreciate it. This looks great, love it.
So if there's no more raised hands or no more questions, we'll move on to committee member comments. Are there any committee member comments at this time?
No.
Okay, hearing none, we'll adjourn the meeting at 6:03 p.m. and our next scheduled meeting will be June 8th, 2021. Thank you all for your
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a nice evening.
Thank you.